Welcome to the Queer Voices podcast, hosted by yours truly, Larissa Russell. Join us today and each week as we talk to people from the LGBT plus community to share their stories, the good, the bad, and the inspirational. Sharing stories, making connections, saving lives. Welcome. I'm Larissa Russell of Queer Voices, and today I have with me G. Scott Graham. Scott is an author, a career coach, a business coach in Boston, Massachusetts. He is currently working on his 16th book. And so welcome, Scott.
Hi, Larissa. It is great to be here and a privilege to be on your podcast.
Well, I'm excited to have you. So we're here today to talk about your last book you wrote or one of the books you wrote? Androphile? Is that the correct way of saying it? Androphile Pride?
Androphile Pride.
Yes. Tell me a little bit about how you ended up writing this book before we get into the nitty gritty of it. But how did you end up writing this book?
This, like most of my books, because I've started a number of books and I haven't finished them. Most of the books that I've written have a strong opinion factor to them, a strong diatribe factor to them, and I feel like there's something wrong and that my voice needs to be heard. I've tried to write other books, like I've tried to write a book I wrote a book on Good King Henry, which is a plant that you can garden. And I started writing a book on cold frames. And I was dying of boredom. It felt like I was writing a term paper for college. I just couldn't do it. But this, you know, this is the type of stuff that you want to talk about on podcasts. So I have an opinion about this. And so where this came from it's really been in the last maybe 20 years, this kind of pushback that's been going on in the gay community as people are coming out, really driven by it's going to irritate some people, but that's why I wrote the book, but really driven by this kind of almost pedantic, this is what you need to believe if you're a gay man. It's tough enough coming out of the closet, let alone you come out of the closet and you get embraced by these people who are like, well, this is what it means. Not only are we going to tell you what to drink, I mean, we can talk about that thing for, you know, fucking gay pride vodka. So not only do we have to contend with that when we are in the most susceptible community out there for addiction, Jesus Louises, but the, you know, people come into the community and they're told, well, this is how you have to dress, this is what you need to embrace, and there were a lot of guys that are like, wait a minute, I just want to have sex with a guy. I don't want to like put on a pink hat and do this and be, you know, I'm not an environmentalist. And now I have to, if I'm not, and on and on and on and on. And so what happened was that this guy named Jack wrote this book called Androphilia, A New Manifesto. He's the original person that coined this word. And he really wrote a compelling book about, you know, why do we have to swallow all this stuff? Why do we have to swallow this stuff? And then this is the really unfortunate piece, Larissa, he went off the rails like a couple years later. So then it became, don't buy into this stuff that the gay community is telling you to, you know, you need to be a real man. And like he became this like misogynistic, anti-Semitic, just asshole off the deep end. And so this book was really written to mess with him, if you will. So that, I mean, that's really it. Because what I'm hoping is that people will go look up Androphilia Manifesto. And in that search, this book will come up. And then they'll be like, oh, they'll probably be like, I'll get both books. And then they'll read his book, and his book makes the kind of the same arguments as my book, but I go on to criticize him in my book. He doesn't criticize himself in his book. And so then, so that's really my hope of this book will then provide a new manifesto for folks that ties into his criticisms, which I think are valid, but doesn't go off the deep end like he does with all this preachy stuff about what it means to be a man and, you know, on and on and on.
I love that. So can you, for those who don't know, What is androphilia?
It just means same-sex loving. File is love, you know, like bibliophile likes books, and andro is same, like androgynous, andro. So it really means loving the same, and it's a way that he could come up with that was unique enough from what was floating around in the gay community to have his own kind of label with that. And yeah. and it really fits, because the people that are reading the book are like, well, this is who I am. I'm just a person who likes to have sex with guys. What's the big deal?
There has been a lot of talk of that in, I would like to say in the community, but really it's people who avoid the community. Who's just like, this is who I love, or this is who I want to sleep with, or this is, why do I have to be a part of this whole culture that goes with it?
Right.
Right. My wife is one of those. She's like, I'm afraid of gay people. And I'm like, you are a gay people. What do you mean you're afraid of gay people? She's like, well, the community, there's just so many and you have to behave a certain way. And so, right. Yeah.
I always introduce myself as, you know, I'm like, I'm not gay. I'm just a guy that likes, I mean, I have, you know, certain, and I don't want to say gay sensibility. I mean, I sort of have political sensibilities and believe in this right and that right. But, you know, it's not the first thing. It's not on my resume. It's not on my LinkedIn profile. Mm-hmm. Right. That's not the first. If I work for, you know, the human rights campaign, you know, that, I mean, it might, that would be on my LinkedIn profile. But when I introduce myself, I'm like, who am I? Gay is the last thing I think of. I'm a firefighter. I'm a tough mudder. I'm a hiker. I run an animal rescue. I mean, all of these things come out first. And yeah, this is just who I have interested in having sex with.
Mm. Yeah. Which is perfectly okay. Yeah. It's part of, you know, being our most authentic self, which is what we're supposed to be striving towards. So why do we need to fit into this culture of
exactly? People, think, you know, I think you it's even become, and now with the whole transgender, us, them, you, me, he, she, them, all of those kind of adjectives that float along there, you see people that are, you know, male that are transitioning to women that want to be a woman, that it's coming full circle. What a huge piece to sort out. And then, you know, there, and the real issue is that this piece, transgender, for example, it's not a gay and lesbian issue. It's not a gay and lesbian rights issue. It's a human rights issue. And absolutely, it's a piece that everybody should, I mean, there's straight people are as close to people that are transitioning as gay people are connected to those people that are transitioning. Because, mm-hmm, you know, I like to have sex with men and they like to have sex with women or men or whatever. We get lobbed in with it. And I think then that becomes the piece that really just weighs us down. People go to the phrase.
Well, I do think like there's a little more to it than that. Like there's even the BDSM culture, say, right, gets lumped in with us, even us, like we're special.
Right.
But there's just like so many different sects, and it's like, we don't know what to do with you. You're different. You want to be it. So you just all go over there in that pot.
Right.
And we'll call you alphabet soup and we're done. And it's like, no, how about we just treat everybody like humans? We stop worrying about all these labels and, you know, look after one another.
Right. That's a great example of the BDSM culture, or even, you know, the whole
polyamory
pedophile culture, right? That's out there, right? People be horrified and be like, oh no, well, we're part of this, you know, men that like boys type thing, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, no, that's not me. That's, I don't want to, I'm not that. I'm not tied up in my basement. At least I'm not tied in my basement right now. That's a joke. you know, that's not, people make we don't want people to make judgments of us any more than, and we're already making judgments of ourselves, which is not fair.
Right. Your book, you decided that you needed to sort of respond to this other author and say your piece. And so was it more about the androphilia, or was it more about calling him out, or was it like you wanted to share information? You wanted to tell us a little more about that.
Yeah. So it was part of calling this guy Jack out. And then it was about, yeah. So I'm just going to read a little piece from the book, because that really stands out. And so this is the first half of the book, which really kind of critiques the, you know, the gay rights movement and the androphile movement. And then the second half of the book is really a self-development piece. There's exercises to do because I'm a coach, and there's things to do. In fact, the first chapter is called It's About You and Only You. And I put really clearly the true androphile alternative is for you to determine who you are, and ultimately for you to be proud of who you are, period. That's it. You know, when you embrace the true androphile alternative, you don't care what the LGBTQIEPK, that's like the long whatever, ers think, right? Yeah. When you embrace the true androphile alternative, you don't care what I, meaning me, think. All that matters is what you think, period. So it kind of validates two pieces. It validates that if someone comes out of the closet and is then blasted with everything from, you know, how to dress and how to vote and how to think and how to act and all these other pieces, and then struggles with that. And then this, and then they maybe stumble on the whole androphile piece, which says you're going to be a man. And they're like, wow, this is true. There's other people who say this stuff shouldn't be shoved down my throat. And then, you know, this piece says, you know, none of those people are right. The only person who is right is you. And then let's spend the rest of the book figuring out who that is, you know. So they go through like an exercise of values, like, you know, cross, I'll pick some, cross, you know, this is not specifically in the book, but you identify some values and stereotypes and beliefs you have. So you might say, you know, I love cross dressing. And then you might say, where is that? Is that my belief? Is that a belief that I've been, who's told me that in my life? And is that the piece that's influencing my viewpoint on cross dressing? Or I don't like cross dressing, right? And is that, oh, that's what my, you know, eighth grade sister Mary Helen told me to believe in, and so that's what I believe. You know, we get all, we're lobbed by all this stuff, and none of us really takes the time to really say where does that come from. How much of that is my parents? How much is that is my church? How much is that in my community? How much is that is the gay? I mean, what's me? Where does me end and all these other things come to play?
Yeah. And I think that's a really good point. Just in general, we should be questioning where these beliefs come from, right? Where do we get this information? Why do we think this? All of that on everything, mm-hmm. not just on, you know, where we fit in a certain community. And
we swallow it all the time. We just swallow that stuff all the time. Some meme comes up on the internet and we're like, oh, that's what happened, right? This is the reality of the world is, right? You just think about that piece, right? That there are still people out there, for example, that you know, I don't know if that's really true, but maybe it's true that there's really are truly people out there who, aside from political reasons, you know, think that Trump lost the election. In their heart of hearts, right? That's like their worldview. They really think that. Mm-hmm. And I think half the politicians, now most of the politicians don't think that. They're just saying that to fuel up their base. But there are people that think that. And if people are thinking that without any type of you know, justification or analysis, the more personal gooey stuff, right? Like that's a fact. Mm-hmm. That's a fact. But the gooey stuff of who we are isn't a fact. And we just,
So if you're willing to, you know, believe or disbelieve facts, what are you believing or disbelieving about your own self?
Right. That's really it. That's really what it comes down to, right? What, because this, ourselves, we're squishy.
We're
fluid, right? We're not solid, factual, whatever. It's
So you're not saying that there's no place for the LGBT alphabet soup, or, you know, you have to. You're just saying you need to decide for you where you belong. Do you need to label yourself? Do you want to label yourself? Is there a reason? Is there not, right? Those are the Am I understanding you correctly?
Absolutely. And the LGBTQRSTUV group needs to be able to embrace people that say, I don't agree with this. Interestingly enough, and I don't know where this came from, there's like these internalized homophobia assessments out there, mm-hmm. you know, that are put in. And one of the criteria in these assessment tools is a yes or no question where they ask you if you are critical of leadership in the gay and lesbian community. Mm-hmm. I know, that's, look at that face. Everybody look at her face. That's that, when I saw that, I'm like, huh. Like the Black community doesn't do that. They don't say, you know, you're not a real Black person if you are critical. I mean, there's a lot of people that are critical against what's going on in the Black community. They just, they never question their Blackness or anything like that. But you know, if somebody is critical about something, one of the things that you hear in our community all the time is, well, they just have internalized homophobia. They've got a lot of self-hate and they're projecting it outward. Well, you know, fuck you. You're diminishing my opinion and brushing it away because you don't want to hear it. And my voice is just as important as somebody else's voice. There should be room for that. Don't tell me that I need to go for therapy so I can get in line with the party views.
Again, very good point, because as humans, we are all different, and we don't, just because we are considered part of a subsect doesn't mean that we have to all behave the same, all do the same thing, call ourselves the same thing, all of that. And I think part of that, we've seen the alphabet soup, because, you know, people want to identify in different ways and not be boxed in by, you know, these labels that we have, but they want their own label because it's, you know, whatever that is. And so we are seeing a lot of, it's not awkwardness, it's like there's no room within a specific community, whether it's Black, LGBT, whatever it is, for differences. And so then we create these new things to be our own selves different. Right. And we're seeing this all over the place.
Right, mm-hmm. right. In many ways, the gay community is like the MAGA heads that are out there, right? It's like there's people that are like
to hear that.
Well, this is what I am. It's like, I'm a Republican, and I think that, you know, Mar-a-Lago was the right thing to do. And I speak out on that. And suddenly all these other Republicans are like, you're not a real, you're a Republican in name only, which is the Republican equivalent of, you have, as a gay man, some internalized homophobia to go through. I mean, it's funny, because had the Republican, the traditional Republicans, right? Had the traditional Republicans turned to they should have gotten ahead of the curve and turned to the MAGA heads and said, you're a Republican in name only. But see, the MAGA heads beat them to it. And now, you know, there, all these other folks are, you know, struggling to get with that line. It's crazy.
Yes.
Crazy.
So, moral of the story, we don't need all these labels. Be you, figure out who you are, and go from there.
Right. That is the big moral of the story. And if there's differences that you see or you don't like, speak up and don't be silent. And if people are trying to squash you on that silence, whether they're, you know, saying you have internalized homophobia, or you're really not a gay man, or you have this, or you're a rhino, or whatever, you got to speak up and say, I'm not swallowing that, instead of cowering to these accusations and labels that are out there. You got to challenge that and say, no, right? Gay men and lesbians challenged that 40 years ago. Right? Who stepped up and said, oh, no. This is, I'm speaking up about this. This is how we are. This is what we believe in. We were born this way. Right. And worked to get it out of the, you know, American Psychological Association's list of psychiatric disorders.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And there's so many things we keep working on, you know, different rights. Yeah. The human rights issues as opposed to, yes.
Right. Yeah. These are about human beings.
Exactly. Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we go today? Maybe where to find your books or anything else?
You can easily find me at gscottgraham.com. That's without the period here. gscottgraham.com. You can get the book on Amazon. It's available in print. It's available. It is available in Audible. And the guy who did that, this is really funny. You can listen to auditions for, and on Audible, you can pick everybody from, you know, I would like the voice of an old woman to read my book. I mean, really, to I would like a voice of a teenage boy to read my book, to I'd like a Southern person to, I mean, on and on and on. And so you do these auditions. And my biggest audition was who could say, because I say it over and over and over again in the book, LGBTQIAPKER. And so that was the whole audition. Who could say that phrase like butter? Like, he's done a really good job. I was like, I can't believe you. And I asked him, I says, did you practice that? He says, I practiced it all weekend. He said, my family was ready to kill me.
Because I'm like, you can't even do that. So yeah. I love that. I love that. Well, we'll make sure we have some links as well for your books.
Great. Great. Thank you.
Yes. Well, I want to thank you for being here.
My privilege.
To our listeners, thank you for being here to witness another story in the life of our community. Thanks for listening to Queer Voices. Our goal with Queer Voices is to help our youth know that they're not alone. Our suicide rate for LGBT plus youth is as much as 8 times higher than hetero youth. This is not acceptable. When our youth find acceptance, this number drops significantly. Save a life today. Show your child or an LGBT youth in your life that you care. Make sure to subscribe and rate us on iTunes so we can help get the word out. Sharing stories, making connections, saving lives.